This is an MUT Radio podcast.
And you're listening to MUT Cruise, the show that gives you nothing short of the very best top-tier quality content. And you are listening to the show with me, Uafika Inkosazana Yagwakinki. So today is actually World Oceans Day. It reminds everyone of the major role that oceans have on everyday life. They are indeed the lungs of our planet, and they are also a major source of food and medicine and a critical part of the biosphere. Joining me on the conversation today is Mr. Trevor Govender, who's actually a lecturer right here at the Mangosuthu University of Technology in the Department of Nature Conservation. He's also an ocean biologist. So how are you doing, Trevor?
Good morning, Afika. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Yeah,
I'd just like to have special thanks to Zamasishi and Sundila also for inviting me on the show and spreading the news on World Oceans Day 2022.
Absolutely. So I think we can just jump straight into it then. So can you briefly explain to us what is the purpose of World Oceans Day? Because I won't lie, it was my first time actually finding out that there's even a World Oceans Day that actually exists.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Before I answer that question, I think it'll be imperative for me just to give some fantastic facts on the ocean and to see what people think about it. And this is the information that people need to know before we go into what Oceans Day means. First of all, the ocean covers 70% of the Earth. That's a remarkable coverage. Some parts of the ocean is around about 11 kilometers deep, and that will tell you about the volume of water it contains. Most of the volcanic eruptions occur in the oceans. You never believe that.
Yeah.
And coming to the biological side, the oceans contain about 94% of Earth's wildlife. And you remember, only 5% has been explored. And over a million species more that needs to be explored. But what astounds me the most is the oceans are the lungs of the Earth. First of all, the microalgae that is found in the ocean contributes about 70% of the world's oxygen, as we thought the Amazon jungle was contributing. But it's the microalgae which is the small plants that are present in the ocean that actually contribute to the oxygen, and they are the actual lungs of the planet. Now, by its resolution of 63 of 111 of the 5th of December 2008, the United Nations Assembly designated 8 June as World Oceans Day. Now, the purpose of the day, to answer your question, is number one is to inform the public of the impact of human actions on the ocean and coastal areas. Number two is to develop a global movement of citizens for the ocean. And number three is to mobilize and unite the planet's population on a project for sustainable use and the management of the world's oceans and coastal ecosystems.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Now, we know that this year's theme for the World Oceans Day is Revitalization Collective Action for the Ocean. So can you please briefly outline this theme for this year?
Okay, the theme for this year, revitalization, okay? It is actually the revitalization collective action for the ocean. Now, it encompasses the following: shedding light on the communities, ideas, and solutions that are working together to protect and revitalize the ocean and everything it sustains.
Thank you. So what are some of the top threats to our oceans and sea life currently? I mean, we did mention that the ocean is, in fact, the major source of food and medicine, and it is also the lungs of our planet. So what are the threats to our oceans and sea life currently?
Okay, before I get into that, let me give you some shocking information. Right, around about 8 million tons of garbage are dumped into the ocean daily. And remember, 80% of this marine pollution comes from the land. So we actually are contributing to this. But to get to the point of what are the top 10 threats to the ocean and sea life, let me give it to you quickly. Number one, plastics. The ocean has become a plastic soup. And as a result, there's a lot of microplastics, and these things get into the fish. And we eat the fish. In technically speaking, we are eating plastic. That's number one. Number two, pollution. Now, we think that the fertilizers and the pesticides used on land are good for the crop, but these get into also the fish and other marine animals, and they affect them drastically. And we see that they are deformed animals due to these chemicals that are sprayed on land. Number three, over-exploitation of fishing resources. This has become a hard-sore topic. And especially some countries are totally inconsiderate in terms of the fishing potential, and especially the tuna fish are affected a lot on the planet. Then the number four, unsustainable aquaculture. Now, many of you never knew this. We also have the production of fish and bivalves, which are farmed. Now, what happens to maintain these within a small section or small area, you have to give these fish and bivalves a lot of antibiotics. But the problem is these antibiotics flow onto the rest of the ocean and affect the other indigenous fauna and flora in the ocean. Number five, marine engineering and oil drilling. I don't even have to explain that. These actually cause fires on the ocean when there's a gas leak and there's explosions. Number six, destruction of habitats. This is an eyesore. People literally go with a big, round metal ball and break coral reefs to get the fish that they need to fish for. This is absolutely not on. Number seven, ocean acidification. Now we're getting to it. Coral bleaching. This is all basically due to climate change. Now, the increased CO2 in the atmosphere results in a diffusion of CO2 into the ocean, and this causes carbonic acid, and carbonic acid is acid, and this results in acidification, and then acid actually bleaches the coral, okay? Then we have high levels of mercury. Don't even go there. From the equipment, the radio equipment and electronic equipment, it goes into the sea, and you know what the effects of mercury is on human life and even on fetuses. Sea temperature rise, there we go. Ocean level rise is a problem because of the rise in temperature and the melting of the ice caps has resulted in this. And you'll see there's a thing called an Antarctic ice melt that's taking place. And number 10, noise pollution. You never thought that noise pollution in the ocean affects our animals. The biggest ever living organism on the planet is the blue whale. My students will know it as Balaenoptera muscularis. It is the biggest animal in the world, and yet it's affected by the noise pollution of ships. So I think I've covered all of the 10 that you wanted.
Yeah. Now, Trevor, I believe that to every problem there is a possible solution. So what are some of the possible solutions for the human interferences which are a threat to our oceans?
Okay, let's look at it from a global point of view, right? The United Nations basically has set up the IUCN, which is called the International Union of Nature Conservation, which we are part of. This university is actually assigned to that. And what it does is it's called the Global Marine Program that works on issues such as integrated coastal and marine management of fisheries, marine protected areas, large marine ecosystems, coral reefs, marine invasives, and also the protection of the high and deep seas. But that's from a global point of view, right? Let's get back to local scene. In South Africa, the Department of Forestry and Environmental Affairs, the Coastal and Ocean Research Fraternity, has been doing extensive work on the ocean research. And one of the team guys who is leading the ocean chemistry team is Dr. Tato Mshali, who's basically working on the extensive ocean chemistry and see how the ocean's chemistry is changing due to climate change and also due to pollution. But it is the global citizens, that is me and you, who are sitting here in this studio, that will have to have a mindset. We have to have a change in our consciousness and have a love for the planet, especially the ocean. And this is what we can do. And this is the little things, like, for example, not to use straws anymore. The simple thing like that. So those things go into the animals in the sea, and it messes the whole ecology up. So start off, number one, today. We will not use plastic straws anymore. Yeah, thanks for that.
Okay. So what role is MUT playing in ocean conservation and research?
Okay. In keeping with MUT's plan or strategic plan of 2020 to 2025, and its strategic goals, the Department of Nature Conservation has put into the teaching and learning, the research and innovation, and the community engagement goals, and have put in a programs that will actually talk to ocean conservation research. For example, the teaching and learning, basically, we have education training of marine reserve managers. We have education training of marine nature conservation scientists in our new BAS program. We also have general coastal and marine courses in our diploma programs. And then in the research and innovation side, this is where we will get it with the rest of the country. We have research on estuaries, master's and postgraduate diploma programs have projects that have dissertations on research on estuaries and coastal areas. We are also doing research on microplastics and climate change in the Department of Nature Conservation at the Center of Algal Biotechnology. And then we also have research where we're partnering with private companies like Ops Research, which is research, and Triad Scientific. These are private companies that partner with us on coastal and marine research and give us the actual financial and moral backing for that. But it comes to the last thing, community engagement. We have to work with the communities, and then we have been working with coastal communities like the Ispinga Estuary, where they care for the river estuaries, working with them on pollution studies. And also we have with my second and third year students, I have the Amgeni Estuary plastic boom project that we collect all the plastic using river booms so to prevent them going into the ocean. So this is why MUT is playing a strategic and significant role in ocean protection.
I believe that MUT is definitely playing a very significant and effective role in the ocean conservation and research. So lastly, Trevor, how can MUT as an institution based in the coast benefit from the ocean?
Right. First of all, we have to get on par with the international mandate. And in conclusion, I would like to leave you with this. We have developed an intelligence to create a high-tech world that many of us live but don't appear to have developed the visionary thinking to see the consequences of our selfish and irresponsible attitude to nature and the ocean. Our planet is made up of a rich mosaic of ecosystems such as forests, grasslands, and in particular, for today, the oceans. In addition to supporting a plethora of wildlife and ecosystems, these provide food, shelter, and materials for the survival of human communities. It will take nature conservation, scientists, teachers, and the responsible citizen to ensure that the planet is kept protected and sustainable. We at MUT are privileged that we are part of that team and have taken an initiative to protect the oceans and coastal habitats. I trust that by commemorating World Oceans Day today and carrying out all that is mandated by the 2022 theme, we will have a sense of responsibility to keep a legacy for the future generations and the planet as a whole.
Thank you so much for joining us, Trevor, on the show.
Thank you, my dear.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.